Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. It's time for Ask the Judge. We haven't done it in about a month or so, and many of you have requested the return of this format where I answer questions live. So a lot of you have already sent your questions in. We've picked out about a dozen or so. We'll do this until my voice breaks. Because we do have three more shows coming up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 4 o'clock Eastern. So thank you for watching, and thank you for your questions. Chris, if you want to put up, or Sonia, put up the first one. Who in the government is going to make the assurances required for Julian Assange's extradition? Can they somehow be made to be legally binding for U.S. courts given the division of powers principle? So the first... The answer to your first question reflects a decision of the High Court of Great Britain, roughly their Supreme Court, not the same situation as ours, but roughly two members of their Supreme Court, who said that Assange could be extradited if the U.S. could assure, A, that he would be treated as if he were an American citizen, B, that his First Amendment rights would be respected, and C, that he wouldn't be exposed to the death penalty. So you have judges in Great Britain asking the American Justice Department to assure something that only an American federal judge could guarantee. So the assurances are not worth the empty words that will come out of the mouths of the Justice Department lawyers, meaning they could make all the assurances they want, but there's no way that those assurances can be guaranteed. Because, as you point out so nicely, in the second part of your question, that we have the separation of powers principle in America, the legislative branch, the Congress writes the laws, the executive branch, the president and the people that work for him enforce the laws, the judicial branch interprets the laws, and the executive branch cannot bind the judicial branch, these assurances are effectively meaningless. Thus, the ruling is effectively meaningless. It's just a way for the establishment in Great Britain to extradite Julian to the United States and attempting to put the onus on the United States rather than on its own gutless judiciary, which is not independent like ours is. Ours is not always independent, but many judges are. In Great Britain, you'd be very hard-pressed to find judges or justices that are. You could probably fit them all in a bathtub because they all come from the same elite core of British society, which is very, 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 three verys pro-government. In my own view, of course, Assange did not commit a crime, should not have been indicted. I think many of you have heard me say this. I thought I had talked then-President Trump into pardoning him, and I think I had. And then the people around Trump changed his mind. And of course, he hasn't been pardoned. On the contrary, he's been tormented in a windowless subterranean cell in the basement of a London prison, conditions far worse than what he would be in if he had been convicted in the United States of espionage. Why is it not a crime? Because the Supreme Court has said that a member of the media could be the New York Times, or it could be Judging Freedom. It could be any member of the media that reveals matters to the public that are of material interest to the public is immune from civil and criminal liability, no matter what's revealed, no matter how they got it, and no matter what they say. But the Obama administration, to its credit, elected not to indict Assange. The Trump administration, under then Attorney General Bill Barr, elected to do so. Okay, next question. In 2017, SCOTUS, that's the Supreme Court of the United States, in a case called Packingham versus North Carolina, big tech was declared a modern public square. Section 702C2 only prohibits civil liability. Why can't a judge order Jordan Peterson restored to Facebook? Okay, there's a lot of background here. I'll pare it down. Section 730 of this particular statute immunizes the owner of the bulletin board from what's posted on the bulletin board. So if you defame me on Facebook, I can sue you. I can't sue Facebook. The purpose of that immunity was to encourage the marketplace of ideas, which, of course, now is an extraordinary marketplace of ideas. You can say what you want, just like a lot of you say whatever you want to me, about me, or to me and about our guests during the show. Some of what some people say is truly off the wall, but I'm an absolutist when it comes to the freedom of speech. Why can't the courts order Facebook to put Jordan Peterson back on? I'm a fan of Jordan Peterson, but Facebook has a private bulletin board, and they can kick off whoever they want. Facebook is not the government. If the government owned Facebook, then they could not kick Jordan Peterson or Judge Napolitano or Bill O'Reilly or anybody off because of the content of our speech. But just as you could throw me out of your garden party on a July afternoon because you didn't like what I was saying to your guests, you're not the government, you can kick me off your bulletin board. The government can't kick me out of its garden party. If I walk into the post office wearing a T-shirt saying Biden's a jerk, they can't kick me out of the post office because the government owns it. The government cannot get involved in, evaluate, infringe upon, punish, or encourage the content of speech, but private individuals, private groups, and corporations can.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
From Nicholas Millick, question, is it possible that after the election, the Democrats refused to recognize Trump as president, or the Republicans refuse to recognize Biden as president? If yes, what to do in this situation? It really depends, Nicholas, on what you mean, or Nicholas, yes, on what you mean by refuse to recognize. If they refuse to attend the State of the Union, so be it. If they refuse to recognize his, whether it's Trump or Biden, exercise of official government powers, they will do so at their own peril. Whoever wins, if it's a legitimate election, meaning if the Electoral College accepts the votes from each state and each state's electors collectively form a majority for one of the two of them, it doesn't matter what people in the country think. It doesn't even matter what Republicans in Congress or Democrats in Congress think. if the Republicans in Congress refuse to do their jobs, it would be up to the voters to kick them out when their terms expire. And the same thing for the Democrats. I think we'd be hard pressed to go through that again, but of course you never know. From Cam C, Judge, thank you for sharing the truth at a time when the world is full of propaganda and deception. Happy Easter and God bless you and yours. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for your kind words. God bless you and yours. Easter, as I wrote in my column this week, which is up at judgeknapp.com, called Taking Easter Seriously. Easter is the linchpin of Christian civilization. If Jesus rose from the dead, then life is worth living, no matter how painful and disappointing it may be. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then life is not worth living, no matter its fleeting joys and victories. Dear Judge, I am Sabine from Germany. Do you have an explanation why the USA are kind of destroying themselves by letting in a massive amount of illegal aliens via the open border? Okay, theoretically, we don't have an open border. Theoretically, there is a border patrol and there are restraints at the border. The present administration has not been enforcing and utilizing those restraints as aggressively as, say, the Trump administration did, or even as aggressively as the Biden administration did. Here's a cocktail party question for you. Which presidency repelled more immigrants, Obama or Trump? Obama. Now, of course, he was in for twice as long as Trump was, but it was the Obama administration was actually more aggressive than the Trump administration. You wouldn't know that from all of the angst caused and bluster from President Trump himself. There are a lot of theories as to why the border is a sieve today. One theory is that Biden has a big heart for these people and wants them to be able to escape repression from other countries. Another theory is Biden wants these people to come to the United States, receive welfare benefits, and eventually vote for Democrats, whether the states allow non-citizens to vote or whether these people eventually become citizens. I think the country is probably fed up with what's going on at the border. And I think whoever the next president is, whether Joe Biden has another term, whether it's Donald Trump or whether it's somebody else, will have stricter enforcement at the border. For the first 100 years of the United States, there was no border control at all. Anybody that wanted to come here could come here. You waited different lengths of time before you became a citizen, but you could just come here. You couldn't vote until you were a citizen, but you could buy property, own real estate, operate a business, work for somebody else. It wasn't until 1886 when Congress enacted, are you ready for this? They wouldn't call it this today. The Chinese Exclusion Act of 1886, which was promoted by members of Congress from the San Francisco Bay Area, because San Francisco had been, in their view, overrun by Chinese immigrants, and they were taking jobs away from Americans. So Congress responded to this by limiting the number of Chinese who entered the country. When the case reached the Supreme Court, members of the court, probably for the first time in their careers, read the clause of the Constitution that addresses this. Guess what? It does not give the federal government authority to regulate borders. It gives the states the authority to regulate borders. We are not an empire. We are a federal republic, a compact made of different states. And the states under the Constitution retain certain authorities. Supreme Court didn't like that and said, well, all countries can control their borders. So we're going to declare that the federal government can control its borders. So from the time when this Chinese Exclusion Act of 1886 was reviewed by the court, which was shortly after 1886, the federal government out of nowhere got the authority to control the borders, and those controls became more and more aggressive with the passage of time. Very controversial area. A lot of libertarians, of which I'm one, believe in open borders, but they also believe in no welfare benefits, and believe that without the state guaranteeing food, shelter, clothing, and health care to people. Only those who truly want a better life and better jobs would come here, and they would find them. Okay, next question. Thank you for that question. Democracy never, but a donation of $20. Thank you for democracy never. You were discussed on the Joe Rogan Experience, and says where? Congrats. Are you familiar with the Amos Miller situation? He's an Amish farmer in the Pennsylvania Agriculture Department. Is seizing and destroying his food. We have that clip from Joe Rogan. We'll show it to you now.
He goes, why did you break that promise?
Yeah, why?
And he goes, if they showed you what they showed me, you wouldn't tell anybody either.
That's what Trump said.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Trump said to that judge. If I think there's only one reason to hide it. The CIA killed Kennedy.
You know, shit.
Well, I happen to agree with Joe Rogan's comments. And Joe, thank you for, in another part of that clip, he mentioned my name, but my name doesn't matter. Thank you for discussing this. He's referencing the conversation that I recounted that I had with President Trump about 2 weeks before he left office when I reminded him he hadn't fulfilled his promise to reveal the JFK assassination files. And that's when he said to me, if they showed you what they showed me, you wouldn't have revealed the files either. And I said, well, who's they and what did they show you? He said, someday when we're speaking and there aren't 15 people on the phone call, a reference to the number of security officials that listen to every call going into the White House and coming out of it, I will tell you. Well, he hasn't told me yet, but maybe someday he will. But Joe, I love you. I love your work. You're the king of the hill. You're the gold standard. In podcasts, you say it as you believe it, and you're a believer in personal freedom, limited government, and peace. And I'd love to share the microphone with you someday, either this microphone or yours. Thank you for your kind comments. We have another question. Here we go, from someone called Fight Back. What is the necessary action in the USA to stop lobbying, meaning bribery of Congress members? In short, how to tackle corruption at the highest levels. Well, lobbying is the freedom of speech, and the freedom of speech is protected by the First Amendment. So if you have a business and Congress is about to write legislation that will make it twice as expensive for you to operate the business, you can hire somebody to go and knock on the doors of members of Congress and tell them why they shouldn't enact that legislation. You can't have your person bribe members of Congress. I think they can buy them a meal. I think they're allowed to accept a meal up to $100, something like that. But they certainly can speak to them. I think lobbying is way out of control like you do, but there's very little that can be done to it so long as we have the freedom of speech. From Patrick Jean-Claude. Patrick, where have you been? You usually pepper us with dozens of questions. I'm kidding, and I'm grateful for your questions always, Patrick. Judge, former U.S. President Obama visited United Kingdom Prime Minister Sunak at 10 Downing Street in London. This was just the other day, sparking speculation about their meeting. Do we know the subject of this meeting? Thanks and Godspeed. Thanks and Godspeed to you as well, Patrick. We don't know the subject of the meeting. It got very, very little notice in the press. Usually, if a former president meets a current head of state, the two of them want to maximize publicity on this. Neither of them wanted any publicity on it. I don't know if it has to do with Ukraine or Gaza or Joe Biden. I do know that Barack Obama is terrified that Donald Trump may beat Joe Biden and, in President Obama's view, undo much of what President Obama and President Biden did. As we speak, literally, the two of them, along with former President Bill Clinton, are arriving in New York City to go to Radio City Music Hall. It's called Music Hall. It's actually just the largest theater in New York City before you get into an arena like Madison Square Garden, but it holds about 2,500 or 3,000 people. For a fundraiser for Joe Biden tonight, they expect to raise, after expenses are paid, about $25 million. Hard to believe, but Joe Biden has trebled the amount of money that Donald Trump has raised. But why the conversation with Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Your guess is as good as mine. I will take one or two more. I don't see the question there, Chris. I see Niagara Dream. Okay. Can members of Congress as individuals be prosecuted for war crimes and genocide of the Palestinian people? Do they have immunity? They do have immunity. They cannot be prosecuted for anything they do, any vote they take on the floor of the House or the floor of the Senate, any position they articulate there, any position they articulate in a House or Senate committee meeting, or on their way to or on their way from Congress. The reason for this clause is because British kings were notorious for prosecuting members of Parliament when they voted against the king's wishes. And Madison was aware of that when he wrote the Constitution, and he made sure that this immunity clause was in there. It's interesting that on their way to and on their way from. Patrick Kennedy, that's Bobby's brother, one of his several brothers, was a member of Congress from Massachusetts and got caught in a DWI at 3 o'clock in the morning, a single car DWI. He smashed his car into a tree. The police came, they realized who he was. They gave him a breathalyzer, was way over the limit. Came time to prosecute him, and he said, I was on my way to Congress. Now, if he truly was on his way to the House of Representatives at 3 in the morning, generally not believable, but if he was, he could not be prosecuted for that DWI. Turned out the court didn't believe him. His lawyer talked him out of it. He pleaded guilty. End of the story. I think we're going to finish at that. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have. I hope a lot of you will watch. Joe Rogan, thank you again, my dear friend. This microphone and this camera are ready for you whenever you like. And I have a lot of friends in Austin who are anxious for me to visit them. And I would be happy to do so and spend a few hours with you while I'm there. We have a busy afternoon coming up for you. As I speak, it's Holy Thursday. We are dark on Good Friday. But at 2 o'clock, we have Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson. At 3 o'clock, Kyle Anzalone. And at 4 o'clock, the Intelligence Community Roundtable with the boys, Larry Johnson and Ray McGovern. Thank you, Judge Napolitano, for judging freedom.